Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. As the Golden Knights fall 4-3 to the Dallas Stars despite a last-ditch effort. Some big-time saves from Jake Oettinger. The Golden Knights right there, but unable to find the equalizer late in this one. Fall to 30-15-4, 64 points on the year. Next in action Sunday, 5 o'clock at home against the Florida Panthers. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at this game tonight, obviously the Golden Knights had their chances late, but it's another scenario where the second period gets away from them, and that's kind of the story of the game.
Yeah, you know, these are two heavyweights in the Western Conference, have been for several years. Of course, have met in the postseason each of the last 2 years, three times in Vegas franchise history. And, I, unlike in boxing, Ryan, you know, there are no knockouts. Just because you score a couple of big goals early doesn't mean they stop the game. You expect the other heavyweight to come back at you, and you're going to go multiple rounds, and sometimes a seven-game series. So even though the Vegas Golden Knights get that first goal, you know, the heavyweight that Dallas is punched right back with Roope Hintz to tie it. And then in the second period, Robertson scores a goal. Vegas punches right back with a goal of its own. But, they got two late goals. You know, it just we talked about it at the time, but how different the game might have been if Hanifin out of the box scores the goal after the successful Vegas kill. Instead, seconds later, Stars come down and score that one. And clearly that was part of especially the second part of the second period was really strong for Dallas. And by the time Vegas could get itself up off the mat, they were down by two goals and they were really in desperation mode. You know, Lazinski and Brisson only had two shifts in the third period. Olofsson also just two shifts in the third. But, you know, you needed those top guys. And Eichel with two goals. Stone with three assists. Power play delivered a couple of times. But, you know, you're wondering, is that secondary scoring going to come? And today it did not. Credit the Stars for that. And obviously Jake Oettinger was terrific. But you can't be in desperation mode as often as the Golden Knights have been. That's why last game was significant and why you wanted that empty net goal a little bit earlier on than they got it, so that you could rest some of the top-end players so they'd be fresher for today's game. I'm not saying that they weren't fresh down the stretch. They were obviously very close to scoring. But such is life when two heavyweights go head-to-head, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's something similar when Dallas comes to Vegas on Tuesday.
You know, and you mentioned it, the Golden Knights power play, now a power play goal in eight straight games, 10 goals over that stretch. You love to see that, but you like to see that in conjunction with five-on-five scoring, and that really hasn't been there for the Golden Knights. I guess the question, and it's a hard one to answer because, you know, you're missing a player like William Karlsson, and this is a game where, you know, William Karlsson's impact is felt in a lot of different ways, but how do you generate more offensively five-on-five if you're the Golden Knights?
It is a good question, and sometimes Bruce will go to the hot hand. There's a certain sense when everybody's healthy that you are going to kind of roll through lines, but it's not sustainable to have one line essentially not play in the third period. You're just too many minutes. I asked Bruce about it on the pregame show today with respect to distribution of minutes, and clearly Tomas Hertl is going to play more in the absence of William Karlsson simply because he's a left-handed centerman, and on and on and on. Plus, oh, by the way, he's got 38 points this year, which is pretty good. it's good timing for Hertl to really be playing his best hockey with Vegas, given Carlson's expected absence of week to week, the team has described. So, there's always going to be a tendency to change up the lines. You wonder, Ryan, if, you know, Barbashev, Eichel, and Stone, they were clearly, there was production today, but at even strength, they didn't quite break out. Like, the points were there, but, you know, but they did seem closer to as an even strength line breaking out. So much offensive zone control. And Eichel obviously hits the post, and there are all kinds of chances. There is that tendency, or I should say the temptation to keep those guys together because they have been super productive at even strength as they were earlier this year. But if your lineup is thinner, do you consider spreading some of that talent around so that you don't have to use basically three lines? I don't know. I really don't. It might be opponent dependent.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it, and you're right, because you do feel like Barbashev, Eichel, and Stone are going to break out even strength, but And it just hasn't happened quite yet. But I will say, Jack Eichel, just offensively in this game, he was all over the place. Obviously, you mentioned the post. He scores on the power play. He kind of wills that third goal in and makes things interesting. Just felt like a really strong game from Jack Eichel.
Yeah, I mean, he scored two, but it felt like he could have had five today.
And it's
so bizarre to say, oh, Jack scored two goals. It's his first multi-goal game of the year, but he could have had more. It's just bizarre. But, like, hey, he's got 60 points now, a few years in a row. He is just a few assists away from tying the franchise record for assists in a season. It's only game 49, 48 for him today. You know, he's already set the power play assist record and so on and so on. He's just having what we expect to be the greatest offensive single season in franchise history. And by the way, Shea Theodore is in the midst of what could be the best offensive season by Knights defenseman. Alex Petrangelo's mark is likely to fall before long. So it is indicative of a superstar player. And you know that he saves his best for the biggest games, whether that is an opponent of significance or a significant game with respect to the standings and obviously the playoffs. So as well as Jack has played, I still feel like he's just warming up, as crazy as that sounds.
Has it ever been a scenario for you like tonight where you're calling a game, you're in the midst of a game, and one of the biggest trades in National Hockey League history, at least in recent memory, takes place simultaneously while you're on the air, and all of the details are trickling out over the course of essentially the entire game?
That's a great question, and I will tell you the first thing that comes to mind, Ryan, is not an NHL game or an NHL trade, and obviously I've done more NHL games than any other sport at any other level, but I will tell you this. 20 and a half years ago, I was calling a Cape Cod Baseball League game, so that's Massachusetts, when the Red Sox traded Nomar Garciaparra. And that, remember, cell phones in 2004 were not then what they are now.
Yeah.
And so to be in Massachusetts, and I worked at this little kid's baseball camp, and one day all the Boston kids would say, who's better, Jeter or Nomar or A-Rod? Nomar's better. And then the next day after they traded Nomar, the kids would say, he was washed up. And I just loved seeing Boston experience that shift. And then, of course, a couple months later, they had the greatest come-from-behind LCS and defeating the Yankees after going down 3-0 and then winning the World Series for the first time since 1918. But it all happened that day with the trade for Nomar Garciaparra. So that is that was a major one. I'm not saying that the Avalanche are going to go win the Stanley Cup now, but is the first one that came to mind, Ryan. I'm not sure you expected that.
I didn't, but you know, you throw the pitch out there and you hit that one out of the park. So well done there, Dan. Enjoy the rest of your night and we'll chat on Sunday.
Thanks, Ryan. Good night.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 4-3 loss to the Dallas Stars. We're back with more in a moment, presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 4-3 to the Dallas Stars. Vegas 30-15-4, 64 points on the year. Next in action Sunday, 5 o'clock at home inside T-Mobile Arena against the defending Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. As we pointed out earlier, William Karlsson out week to week for the Vegas Golden Knights, lower body injury. Brett Howden was able to return to game action after missing last night's game in St. Louis with an illness. So, you know, kind of some flux there for the Golden Knights. Alexander Holtz not in the lineup tonight for Vegas. We'll see what the configuration looks like for the Golden Knights as you get into Sunday's game against Florida. But, you know, it's not going to be easy to replace and mitigate what you lose with William Karlsson out of the lineup. He does a lot. He is an every situation player. And games against teams like the Dallas Stars, who are very, very deep, will highlight just how much and how important a player William Karlsson is for this Vegas Golden Knights hockey team. Let's take a look at the highlights in this game and go back to the first period. The Golden Knights open the scoring 4 minutes into the game on Jack Eichel's power play goal.
Attempt to clear goes off the referee. Stone for Eichel. He scores. Knights take advantage of a fortunate bounce. Power play goal. Eichel from the left wing. 1-0 Vegas, 4 minutes in. Just 31 seconds into the Knights' power play.
13th goal of the year for Jack Eichel on the power play from Mark Stone. 4:04 of the first period made it 1-0 Vegas. But the Stars answered just 2 minutes later with a power play goal of their own from Roope Hintz.
Down to 52 seconds on the power play for Dallas. Back in they come. Johnston centers. They score. Roope Hintz the redirect in front. And the Stars have tied it with a power play goal of their own. Roope Hintz with his 20th of the season, fifth on the power play. 1-1, 13:41 to go in the first period.
Roope Hintz from Evgeny Dodonov and Logan Stankoven, 6:19 of the first period on the power play, tied the game at once. We'd head to the second period all knotted up, and the Stars took the lead 7 minutes into the period when Jason Robertson jumped on a rebound.
Now Robertson in for Dallas. For Duchesne, shooting save, rebound, they score! Juicy rebound for Dallas. Wyatt Johnston makes it 2-1 Stars with 12:29 to go in the second period.
16th goal of the year for Jason Robertson from Matt Duchesne and Wyatt Johnston. 7:31 of the second period made it 2-1 Dallas. But the Golden Knights responded 90 seconds later on the power play. Shea Theodore finished off a fantastic pass from Tomas Hertl.
Entry Theodore to the right wing. Stone to the slot. Hertl back to the right. They score! Theodore! Tic-tac-toe! 2-2 tie. Another power play goal. Theodore's second power play goal of the season. Two power play goals in the game for the Knights. Hertl with the extra pass from down low. Stone on the right. Hertl on the left. And low on the right for Shea Theodore to finish.
Sixth goal of the year for Shea Theodore on the power play from Tomas Hertl and Mark Stone. 8:57 in the second period. Tied the game at 2, but the Stars took control of the game in the back half of the second period as Jamie Benn broke the tie with a deflection.
Out high, Duchesne works his way to the high slot, turns and shoots, score! With Jamie Benn in front, and the Stars are up 3-2. Knights had the puck coming out of their own zone. They could not break out cleanly, and the Stars capitalized. Captain Jamie Benn, a redirect from right in front of Hayden Hill. Stars back on top with a 3-2 lead.
13th goal of the year for Jamie Benn from Matt Duchesne and Miro Heiskanen. 16:18 of that second period made it 3-2 Dallas. Then the Stars extended their lead just over a minute later on Jason Robertson's chip shot.
Hagen is on end. Pressure, deflected puck. Johnston picks it up, put it toward the goal, poked away by Hill. It ends up in the right circle. Johnston, and now Robertson scores. Several Knights were there, and somehow Robertson wedge shot of a bid from the bottom of the right circle, and it gets by Hill. And it's 4-2 Stars with 2:06 to go in the second.
Second goal of the game, 17th of the year for Jason Robertson from Wyatt Johnston and Evgeny Dodonov. 17:54 of that second period made it 4-2 Dallas. So the Golden Knights would need two goals in the third period to come back in this one, and they made it a one-goal game midway through the period as Jack Eichel willed in his second goal of the game.
Eichel doesn't want to go off the ice. Barbashev lands a hard check on the corner boards. Stone for McNabb. Another post. And now they score on the rebound. Jack Eichel in the crease after the Knights hit the post twice on the same possession from just inches away. Jack Eichel muscles it home. Vegas within a goal. 4-3 Dallas. 9:25 left in the third.
Second goal of the game, 14th of the year for Jack Eichel from Braden McNabb and Mark Stone. 10:35 of that third period made it 4-3 Dallas. The Golden Knights would pull Aiden Hill. They would have glorious chances at the end of the game, but Jake Oettinger made some ridiculous saves, including one at the final buzzer, and all that was left in this game was the final call.
Left goal line, Stone, center, a shot, save, swing and a miss on a rebound. 3-2, desperate shot. Shot at the horn, stopped again! Brilliant save! Brilliant sequence for Oettinger preserves the victory for Dallas. 4-3 3 Stars, the final score.
And there you have it, 4-3, the final. The Dallas Stars defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas 30-15-4, 64 points on the year. Next in action, Sunday, 5 o'clock at home inside T-Mobile Arena against the defending Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back to the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 4-3 to the Dallas Stars. Vegas 30-15-4, 64 points on the year. Next in action, Sunday, 5 o'clock, at home against the Florida Panthers. And as much as we were focused on the game tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights, and we'll get to the text line in a couple of minutes. 702-876-1340, that's the number to the text line. That's the spot for your instant reactions to everything Vegas Golden Knights. If you have opinion, if you have a spicy hot take, doesn't matter what it is, that's the place to go. 702-876-1340. Send your texts in. I swear I will get to them in just a couple of minutes, but I want to get in on the action. I do. It has been kind of a wild evening in the National Hockey League beyond just the Vegas Golden Knights, as it quite literally was a trade that I don't think a lot of people saw coming and was a blockbuster if there ever was one. The Colorado Avalanche get Jack Drury, Marty Natchez, a 2025 second round pick and a 2026 fourth round pick. The Carolina Hurricanes get Mikko Rantanen at 50% salary retention by way of the Chicago Blackhawks. Chicago also trades Taylor Hall to Carolina. So Carolina gets Rantanen at 50%, Taylor Hall, and the Chicago Blackhawks get a 2025 third-round pick from Carolina. So one more time. Colorado, Jack Drury, Marty Natchez, a second-round pick in 2025, a fourth-round pick in 2026. Carolina gets Mikko Rantanen 50% off and Taylor Hall, and Chicago gets a 2025 third round pick from Carolina. What makes this deal so interesting to me anyway is that it's two playoff teams that are effectively going all in very different ways. So for the Colorado Avalanche, like, they move on from Mikko Rantanen. They bring in Marty Natchez and Jack Drury, so you're getting pretty fair value for that. Like, you're never going to get a one-for-one or two players that are going to come in and be as good, as dynamic as Mikko Rantanen. But when you've got a Nathan MacKinnon, and with the year Marty Natchez is having, it makes a lot of sense for Colorado, considering the fact that Rantanen wanted what he wanted in terms of his next contract, and it just didn't seem like the two sides, Mikko Rantanen and Colorado, were going to be able to meet in the middle. So if you want to recoup that asset, if you want to find a way to bring something in that you have control on, and that's Marty Natchez in this situation, it makes sense for the Colorado Avalanche to do that. You get the highest possible value you can get for Mikko Rantanen, and from a Carolina Hurricane perspective, you got Mikko Rantanen. I mean, he's right there in terms of wingers in the National Hockey League. And Gary Lawless was talking about this. I agree with him 100%. Like, he is right there with Leon Draisaitl, Mitch Marner, as probably a top three, top four impactful winger in the National Hockey League. He is a player that the Carolina Hurricanes simply do not have. And so you understand it from that perspective, and they also replace, to an extent, Jack Drury with Taylor Hall, and I know, I get it, like, it's not 8-10 years ago, Taylor Hall, that version of Taylor Hall, the MVP version of Taylor Hall, but it's still a very, very useful player who can play a faster style like the Hurricanes play under head coach Brad Brindamore, and he's got a lot of experience. It's a big year for the Carolina Hurricanes. I like this deal on both sides. And so for that, you don't really see this. A tried and true legitimate hockey trade that has upside for both teams involved, and I'm not necessarily counting the Chicago Blackhawks in this. Obviously, they move out from under the contract of Taylor Hall. They retain salary. They get a pick out of it. Good on Chicago there. But the fact of the matter is, you don't see playoff teams with big-name players making trades like this very often. And it was really fascinating to watch all the details kind of trickle in over the course of the evening, leading us ultimately to where we are with the full trade announced. And so for the Colorado Avalanche, they have more flexibility and they have some salary cap to continue to work with as we get closer to the trade deadline. And for Carolina, this is them swinging for the fences. The Carolina Hurricanes are absolutely swinging for the fences. They are announcing they are all in, and there's no contract extension, at least at this point, on the table yet for Mikko Rantanen. This trade did not come with an extension in tow. So it'll be on Carolina. It's incumbent on the Hurricanes to impress Rantanen, to find a way to re-sign him, because this is a lot to give up. Marty Natchez, Jack Drury, that is a lot of capital if you are the Carolina Hurricanes, especially after an offseason where there's been a little bit of flux. But that being said, fortune favors the brave. And Eric Tolsky took a big swing tonight in getting Mikko Rantanen for the Carolina Hurricanes. I love it. The NHL needs more blockbuster trades like this. And the fact that it was done on a Friday night and it had the entire hockey world up in arms while you had a playoff caliber game between the Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights, it gives you an idea of just how big a deal this was. Unreal. Phenomenal stuff if you're a fan of the National Hockey League. Take a break. Come back with more on the VGK Postgame Show. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Lee's Family Forum is Henderson's home for live sports and entertainment, including the Henderson Silver Knights, Las Vegas Desert Dogs, Vegas Thrill, and much more. Check out leesfamilyforum.com to see all that the venue offers. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 4-3 to the Dallas Stars. Vegas 30-15-4, 64 points on the year. Next in action Sunday, 5 o'clock at home inside T-Mobile Arena against the Florida Panthers. The story of this game, it's a tough one. And if the Golden Knights didn't have a stretch like they had before the game against St. Louis, I don't think we look at this game with as much frustration, right? If the Golden Knights hadn't dropped four in a row, 0-3-1, before getting the victory last night in St. Louis, I think we look at this game for what it actually is. And it was two titans of the Western Conference going at it. I thought the Golden Knights on a back-to-back had obviously the legs early. That is a Darren Elliott staple. It's the fourth period effect. The Golden Knights were really good in the first period. Really good in the first period. I thought they were good at kind of disrupting the zone exits of the Dallas Stars. They had a lot of zone time. I thought the Golden Knights were strong in that first period. Then things started to change for Dallas in the second period. They did a great job doing to Vegas what Vegas did to Dallas in the first period. They hemmed the Golden Knights in. They took advantage of their opportunities. And then they got to the inside. Middle of the ice, Dallas Stars, second period, they owned it. They were winning every battle in front of Adin Hill. They were finding every single rebound that was at the feet of the goaltender. And that was just relentless hockey from Dallas. But I give the Golden Knights a lot of credit. I really do. Back-to-back scenario, brutal stretch, all of it. To be able to dig deep and make it a game late and have their chances to tie that game up, if not for the heroics of Jake Oettinger, they gave themselves a chance to win. And when Bruce Cassidy talks about, and he's talked about it a lot over the course of this stretch where the Golden Knights have been just one play off, this truly was a game where the Golden Knights were just one play off. And so against a really good Dallas Stars team, I do think that you're seeing improvement overall in the game for the Vegas Golden Knights. Do they have to smooth out those rough patches in periods, in games? Absolutely. But I think they're getting closer and closer to the team that we saw in the month of December than they have to this point in the month of January. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Hey, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-3 the final. The Dallas Stars defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas 30, 15-4, 64 points on the year. Next in action Sunday, 5 o'clock at home inside T-Mobile Arena against the Florida Panthers. 702-876-1340. 702-876-1340. You can hit us on the text line, but I'd prefer you call in. And I'm opening it up for anybody that wants to call in and just talk about the Mikko Rantanen trade. Like, that is an option on the table. It is the extended postgame show for the Golden Knights. I get it. But we're talking about a blockbuster. It's live radio. You have an opportunity. If you're a hockey fan and you're listening to this, dial the number. 702-876-1340. We can talk about the Golden Knights. We can talk about a strong performance from Jack Eichel. We can talk about another loss. Doesn't matter. Any direction you want to go. If you want to talk trades, let's do it as well. Because, boy, oh boy, there was a blockbuster in the National Hockey League tonight. 702-876-1340. Let's go out to the phone lines. Bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, a moment before we talk about the trade, and that is to congratulate a bunch of exhausted kids on a tremendous effort tonight. I mean, those two saves by Ottinger near the buzzer were unbelievable. So I am so proud to be a Knights fan this evening, and a loss will not deter me from that opinion whatsoever. Now, as far as the Rantanen trade goes, does it harbinger perhaps that Landeskog is about to come back? Is that part of the thought process?
I don't think that factors in any way. I think that this was simply a scenario where the Colorado Avalanche were trying to determine if they could legitimately get a contract extension done with Mikko Rantanen. I think Rantanen wanted what he wanted. The Avalanche, I think, philosophically didn't necessarily want to go there, financially didn't want to go there. And the minute you realize that you're not going to be able to kind of bridge that gap, you have to make a determination. Like, you go into the trade deadline and you can view Mikko Rantanen as your own rental, or you can try to trade him at the peak of his value, which is where he's at right now, and recoup assets that you believe can help you not just this year, but next year and beyond. And I think it was simply a scenario where you have an asset that is kind of expiring to a degree, and you needed to find a way to turn that into something real, and the Colorado Avalanche did.
Okay, and Carolina is thinking of him as a rental, do you think?
Well, there's no contract extension signed just yet, and it didn't come with the deal. So I think if you're the Carolina Hurricanes, you take a swing, right? Like, this is a team, this is an organization that has been right there for many, many years, but Rantanen is a player unlike one that they've ever had. Like, he is a guy that can change games dynamically. You want to talk about stars? Yes, Sebastian Aho is a star. Mikko Rantanen is a superstar. There's a different level to his game. So I think if you're Carolina, you bring him in, you try to sell him on being a Carolina Hurricane. I think if you want to make the deal, if you want to go into $14 million a year and the Carolina Hurricanes can do that, by all means, try to knock his socks off. But I think right now you're hoping to get him in. You're hoping to kind of wow him with your culture and prove to him that there's a path and an avenue to winning there.
Well, the Eastern Conference is on high alert tonight, and they'll have to answer with something of their own, especially like a Washington, for instance. we'll see what they do. The other thing is a general hockey point, like I made last night when I was talking about cross-checking. And this one has to do with goal mouth and goal crease violations. Now, there is no question, because I watched it enough times to know, that a skate was in the blue paint when a goal was scored tonight. Now, is that legal?
Yeah, you can be in the blue paint, yes.
Okay, so is it incumbent upon the goaltender then to cross-check him, get him out of the way?
I mean, if you're creating contact with the goalie in that situation, then you can always challenge for goalie interference. But if there's no contact, then, you know, there's not really anything that you can do. If it prevents the goaltender from coming out and playing their position, that's one thing. But you've got to fight for your positioning, too, if you're a goalie. So to a degree, yeah, Mike, it is incumbent on the goalie to kind of stake his claim to that area. And it's also incumbent on the defense to kind of clear a guy out. Like, you know, if you're looking at Jamie Benn, he was standing right in front of Aiden Hill. He was right on the edge there on his deflection goal. But the fact of the matter is you've got to find a way to kind of move those players out, and you know you're going to have to be physical and harder in those situations.
Well, I'll let others have the forum here, but I just think it's really not right for one goaltender to be against one defenseman in a situation like that. I think there has to be a clear-cut, definitive definition of what is interference and what isn't.
Well, where do you think Aiden Hill was interfered with?
Well, I don't know that Aiden Hill was interfered with. I know that the rules as they stand today mean that J.B. Benn can put a foot, 2 feet, his entire body in the blue, and I just don't think that's right.
I mean, if a player's in the blue paint and a shot comes from the other side and it doesn't affect the goaltender's angle, that should be a good goal.
Well, at what point, though, do you say that's too much? You're invading the area that is reserved for the goaltender. And I don't understand how that continues to be a non-thing.
Well, again, if there's contact, it's a different story. But if there's no contact, like if you have a skate in the crease on the right side of the goal and the goaltender's on the left post and a shot comes in and it beats the goalie and your skate blade being in the crease has nothing to do with how the goaltender chooses to make a save or shot selection or anything like that, why should that goal not count?
Yeah, I'm sure you're right, and obviously you are, because the rule is not going to change, and it isn't what I consider a violation. I just think it should be, and perhaps could be looked at someday, but in the meantime, it's up to the goaltender to claim his territory. That's what you're saying.
I mean, you know, you can ask the Buffalo Sabres how they feel about, you know, skates and creases and everything, but like, again, it's more philosophical, I suppose, and thanks again for the call, Mike. But if you're not impacting the play at all, then that's fine. Like, Jamie Benn should be able to skate through the top of the crease if that area is available to him to get set up for a tip. It's on the Golden Knights to clear him out. It's on Aiden Hill or any goaltender for that matter to kind of establish their area of the ice. Goaltenders are allowed to come outside the crease to challenge. So you want to be right on the top of it. And, you know, it's not always going to work out that way. But I think, you know, for a lot of goalies, a lot of goalies will tell you, like, they're fighting for their space just as much as any other player on the ice at any other time. And that's kind of the way that it has to be. 702-876-1340 is the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So, just kind of unfortunate to not be able to get any points out of this game. There were how many posts? They really pushed so hard in that second period. It's just kind of a case of just had one really bad period and it cost them. But, you know, seeing Eichel score, seeing them, you know, really push there at the end in the third and toward the end of it, I'm not worried. I feel like we've kind of gotten past this slump, and that, you know, they faced a tough team today and came up one goal short.
You know, I'm with you in that I like their pushback in the third period. I would have loved to see that happen a little bit earlier on in the game. Like, obviously, it would have been nice to have that pushback in the second period, late in the second period after the Jamie Benn goal. But, you know, to that point, I it does feel different for me. Like, you're always kind of looking at individual games, moments. We were kind of talking about it after the first St. Louis game on Monday. Did the 2 6-on-5 goals kind of push them in the right direction? Maybe, maybe not. Did that win against St. Louis last night push them in the right direction? Yeah, I think to a degree, sure. But I think tonight's game was more indicative of what the Golden Knights are. This was a really good team in the Dallas Stars. The Golden Knights were right there, and they were right there without William Karlsson, with a sparsely used fourth line in the third period on a back-to-back, and they were inches away from tying that game. Like, there was a lot to learn about the Golden Knights in this one tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely think it's important to point out that it was a back-to-back with less than 24 hours in between the game with travel. So, like, you don't want to see them kind of have that slump in the second period, but it's going to happen sometimes. And I feel like it's more important how they finished that game strong. Like, I would have felt worse about this game if the second and third periods were flopped, right? If what they did in the third period was what they did in the second, and then that second period was how we finished this game, it would have felt a lot worse than it did being arranged the way it was.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Stephanie, and thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. The fact that they were able to push is important, and it matters. It does. And, you know, again, right there with a really good and really deep Dallas Stars team, you'll take that all day long. Obviously, you'll want the win. No moral victories at this time of the year, but I think for the Golden Knights, it does feel more to me that they are moving out of this stretch where they've just been fighting it a bit. And it seems like they're moving in the right direction. Do you agree? Call me now. 702-876-1340. You think the Golden Knights are moving in the right direction? Or do you feel like this loss is just indicative of the way that they have played lately and more are coming for the Vegas Golden Knights? 702-876-1340. We have lines open. Taking more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. It's the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-3 the final. The Dallas Stars defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas 30-15-4, 64 points on the year. Next in action Sunday, 5 o'clock at home against the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. Doesn't get any easier for the Vegas Golden Knights. You've got Florida on Sunday and then Dallas again on Tuesday. So back-to-back, really tough opponents for the Vegas Golden Knights. Checking in on the text line, 702-876-1340. Text line is your spot for instant reactions. Any spicy takes, that's the place to go. You can also pick up the phone, dial the number 702-876-1340. Open invitation, any direction you want to go. We have lines open. If you call in, I'm putting you on the air. It's an open invite. If you can hear me, never called in before, I want you to call in right now. Pick up the phone. Dial the number. 702-876-1340. Robert said needed one more save. Eichel with two goals looks like he's starting to feel it, and that line is getting their mojo back. I would agree with that. However, it does bring up an interesting kind of talking point coming out of this game if you're a Golden Knights fan. Barbashev, Eichel, and Stone were excellent tonight. Full stop, really good, offensively driving play in the offensive zone, created a lot of chances. If it was anybody driving the bus for the Golden Knights tonight, it was Eichel, it was Stone, it was Barbashev. But, and here's where the conversation gets interesting, with William Karlsson unavailable, week-to-week lower body injury, and that Eichel line intact, are you going to have enough down the rest of your lineup to allow you, to afford you, to have more than just one line in the power play going? Because if you go back and listen to Bruce Cassidy, as he's talked about it of late, and this was when Karlsson was healthy and in the lineup, you can't be a one-line team in a power play. You need your power play to help you in terms of games or in situations, but you need 5-on-5 scoring too. And I think the only way that you're going to get that right now, if you're looking at it from a Golden Knights perspective, is perhaps to balance things out a little bit. And the only way to balance it is to maybe think about moving Mark Stone away from Jack Eichel or something like that. Because I think you need more. If you're only going with two shifts in the third period for different components of your fourth line, it becomes really difficult to do what the Golden Knights do, and that's roll line over line over line and apply that pressure top to bottom for 60 minutes. I'll be interested to see what the configuration looks like for the Golden Knights on Sunday, and it's ironic in that I agree with you completely, Robert. It feels like Stone, Eichel, Barbashev as a trio are about to absolutely pop off. But I wonder if it's for the betterment of the team that you move some of those pieces around in an effort to strike more balance. Jacob says it's hard to beat good teams. Fourth line isn't useful. Yeah, again, I think that you're trying to find the right combinations. And I think, if anything, what it does is it highlights the importance of William Karlsson. That's a player that I have a lot of time for. It's a player that continues to kind of push the pace in the right direction. I think you're seeing just how important and how vital he is for the Golden Knights and their success. I really do. Colleen says the only thing missing was a W, because that was some great, awesome hockey to watch. I agree. I thought the game was really fun. It was certainly entertaining. There were chances galore on both sides of the puck. I thought it was a really good game. It was a really fun game. I know that wins and losses matter. I know that fans want their team to win every single game. But if you can just kind of take yourself out of that box for a moment and sit back and watch the game and enjoy the game for what it is, it was awesome. It's a really good game. Ivan says, awesome heavyweight bout between two great teams. Looking forward to the rematch next week. I am too, and the beautiful thing about that is that we'll be in the building. It's one thing to watch these games on TV, but it's another to watch them in the building. And in Vegas, Dallas, it never disappoints, ever. I am seeing a lot in terms of the text line on goaltending. I'm going to leave that one in a box for a moment. I'm going to leave that one in a box for a couple of days. I mean, I'm not necessarily sure in terms of some of the goals, like Roope hints. It's a nice deflection. He goes against the grain on the backhand. That's a high skill play. You know, Jamie Benn, one of the best to tip pucks in the National Hockey League. He's right there. You want to maybe box out. I don't know that I'm putting that one on Aiden Hill. The rebound, certainly you'd like him to clean that up. But beyond that, I thought there were at least a handful of saves that Aiden made to try to keep this team in it. So from that perspective, like, you needed one more save. And you look at the end of the game, Jake Oettinger delivered for the Dallas Stars. So at the end of the night, Jake Oettinger made one or two more saves than Aiden Hill. And that's the difference in this one between winning and losing. Take a break. Wrap it up next on the Extended Post Game Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights Post Game Show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the Extended Post Game Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-3, the final. The Dallas Stars defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas 30-15-4, 64 points on the year. Looking to get back in the win column Sunday night, 5 o'clock puck drop, 4 o'clock pregame show at home against the Florida Panthers. And that should be exactly what we got tonight between Vegas and Dallas, a heavyweight fight between two extremely good teams. Florida Panthers coming off of back-to-back seasons where they went to a Stanley Cup final, lost, of course, to Vegas, won it all last season, and in the midst of just kind of going about their business, finding ways to win. Ultimately, the Panthers know what matters most to them, and that's the playoffs. And for the Golden Knights, it should be a really stiff test against the best in the National Hockey League. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Post Game Show. Thanks to Chris Chapman back in studio, keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers and our texters. It is your post-game show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your texts, and your input. Until Sunday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the extended Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.